I know some of us rotate through having to work on Sundays and so on. Okay, first is a Bible word. The way that we use the word priority would help you understand the Bible word a little bit. The Bible word means of utmost importance. This is more important than that. It is the first in order. It is something that you need to pay attention to. It is priority. And so as we kind of do the typical year-end, take inventory, celebrate what God has done, but reevaluate what areas in our life need order, what areas of in our life need change, I think it's important for us to consider what areas of life need to come first. Now, just to kind of help illustrate that, if this vase or container, if you will, is your life, and let's say that these balls are different things that we put into our life or different ways that we spend our life, right? We all have 24 hours in a day, and that's, you know, one thing that will change when it comes time for heaven, right? So we'll give account for what we did with our 24 hours of the day. Now, these three very different objects actually are pretty similar size, right? They're pretty similar size. And it's easy for us, I think, to let life come at us. You may have seen the TV commercials for insurance, life comes at you fast, right? It's kind of easy as an adult pretty soon to get to a place where you're not doing anything that you really intended to do. And your life is really consumed with stuff that you feel like you have to do. Okay, thank you. There's someone else in here above the age of 30. All right, so when you, no offense to most of you who are not, but it's easy for us to come to that place, and it's also easy for us to kind of, maybe not when we talk about it in our mindset, but when the way that we actually live reflects that we believe that all of the biggest things in life are of the same value, that there's not really anything else in our life that takes up a different amount of value, a different amount of resource, a different amount of time or energy or anything like that. But the reality is that everything in your life, every second of the day, every moment, there's going to be something, there's going to be someone trying to fill those cracks, right? And we could go all the way to the point of pouring in sand into this to illustrate the point that your 24 hours in the day are going to get filled, right? How you live your life and what you get to look back on, it's going to get consumed, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. And that the easiest way to reflect your values, a lot of people talk about your checkbook, but I think your calendar is maybe a little bit better indication of that, is how you spend your time. What you spend the most of your time on, your heart focus, reflects your, maybe not your aspirational values, but your functional values. Too many $20 words today. Are you guys okay? All right, so first, so in Matthew chapter 6, we open Matthew chapter 6, you may be most familiar with the phrase from verse 33 when Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now that phrase has been used to mean a lot of different things. But what we easily miss in this Matthew chapter 6 is what Jesus is talking about in the bigger context. And in the bigger context, you've got to go back to chapter 5, which is the beginning of what people call the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe the largest one-time conversation or talk, if you will, that we have recorded of Jesus, where Jesus starts by describing that God blesses people and that God blesses different kinds of people. It's sad for us to approach the Beatitudes or the Blesseds as a guilt trip, as I should be more this or I should be more that. No, Jesus is saying God is good because God blesses different kinds of people. And these are the kinds of people that God blesses. Now, in that same train of thought, Jesus starts to talk about our heart issues. He starts to talk about how, hey, if you're a believer, this relationship with God thing is not about a to-do list of do's and don'ts. You guys have focused on these aspects of the law. And he's referring to the Torah, the Pentateuch, your first five books of the Bible. You've chosen to focus on these, but yet I have a higher standard. He's saying, you focused on this action, but I'm actually more concerned about what's going on in your heart.
See, it's in that context that Jesus has, in Matthew chapter 6, three times when he uses the word when. He says, and he's talking to believers. So this is, if you're not a believer in Jesus, this is not addressed to you. He says, when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. See, I think it's easy in the modern American church for us to come to a place of thinking, oh, I just check off the Jesus box in my brain and I'm done. Where do we come up with this idea? Jesus refers to spiritual disciplines that were common in the five books of the Bible for believers that God set out, God ideas that he had. And he's saying, listen, I'm not doing away with these things. These are things that you should do as a believer in me, right, in Jesus. And when you do these things, this is how you should do them. When you pray, when you give, when you fast. You know, it saddens me to say that many believers that I have seen do not do these three. Really. Maybe a little bit in public, and that's it. But Jesus is saying, listen, your love response to God, your gratitude for your salvation comes to when you give, when you pray, when you fast. There is a response, a love response. It's not a guilt response. Jesus never says it is to earn your salvation. It is not to earn more favor with God so that you can be ahead of me in the heaven line. It's not for any of those things. It is a love response. It is out of gratitude. Are you with me? Really important that we don't come at this from the wrong direction, that we don't use it from the wrong direction. The Bible word for perversion means a twisting of the truth. And what happens is it's easy for us to twist the truth. Then when we look at Jesus says I need to pray, fast, well, then I go to do those things to try to earn favor with God. No, 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 no. If that's why we are doing those things, it does not mean the same thing to God. One of the very first mentions of sin has to do with Cain and Abel, and actually has to do with, before the murder, has to do with the sacrifice. Your motives matter to God. If you come this morning, if you sing, if you give, if you pray with a motive to try to earn God's favor, it does not mean the same thing. So when I make decisions about what comes first in my life, my motives matter, right? This is basic Bible. Now, we come to when you pray, when you give, when you fast, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus described it as righteousness, which means right relationship with God and with others, peace, and joy. Seek first the kingdom of God. So when I seek reconciliation, when someone has offended me and I go through that really difficult process of the way Jesus outlined it in Matthew 18, to go to them privately, not gossip about them, but go to them privately to seek restoration, I am following the seek first the kingdom of God. Are you with me? See, the Bible works and the Bible matters. And it will improve your life. It will literally leave you in a better state. If we all were seeking first God's right relationship with him and others, peace and joy, I think that for the most part, most conflict, even some war, would not happen. Do you know that 10 years ago, no Christian university had a peace program? How would Jesus feel about that? It's supposed to be one of the things that we are experts on. Okay, that's a topic for another day. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, when you seek, don't worry. One of the things that changed my life the most when I was digging into Matthew chapter 6 some 20 years ago was when I came to the way that Jesus said over and over and over, don't worry. Do you know that if you tally the number of times in the Bible it says don't worry or fear not, there are 365? One for every day. God doesn't want you to be in fear. He doesn't want you to worry. Conversely, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks and make your requests made known to God. It's not just pretend that your problem isn't there. It's give thanks and make your requests known. Everyone okay? I should remember, it's a holiday weekend. That's why some of you look tired. All right, so now I want to take a next step in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 14. I'm actually going to turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now, to set the stage, what's going on is that the temple of the Lord is finally being built. After all that David did to save up the resources for it, you may be familiar with the story. God told David to not build the temple himself, set it out for Solomon to build the temple. So Solomon is building the temple, and we don't have time this morning, but some amazing stuff has been happening in chapter 4, chapter 5. God, the presence of God, when the priests are singing, and in repetition, for those of you that don't like repetitious songs, the priests are singing, He is good, His faithful love endures forever. And at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud. The glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. There is a biblical value to us waiting on God and being aware of His presence. Now, chapter 6, verse 14, Solomon prays, O Lord, and he's saying the name Yahweh, the personal name of God, Creator and Redeemer. O Creator, Redeemer, God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven and earth. You keep your covenant and show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. Now, just like Jesus does in Matthew chapter 22, he's referring to a God value about the entire devotion of your heart. When you sit down and you make decisions about what comes first, what do you make sure goes in first? Am I making decisions? Do I functionally, for real, live in a way that shows God is first? Remember, this is not about a guilt trip. Don't let guilt creep in. This is not merit-based theology. It's not whoever prays longest is holiest. Come on, get that garbage out of your mind. It is between you and God. It's very personal. But privately, between you and God, are you giving God first? Right? Is he the first? Is that the first thing to go in before anything else? Right? To those who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. Now, I've heard many times the passage from chapter 7 quoted, but not this. Because it's easier for us to do in chapter 7. Oh, what are you talking about? All right. Chapter 7, verse 14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and restore their land. My eyes will be open, my ears attentive to every prayer. It's easier for us at one time in public, in church, get down on our knees, repent, confess our sins, than for us to walk in wholehearted devotion. Like just between you and God. It's an easier thing. Now, Joel chapter 2. Let's go to Joel chapter 2, oft quoted. Joel chapter 2. It's page 733 for me. Genesis, Exodus, Joel. Okay, good, you're awake. Actually goes Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2. Let's start in verse 12. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. We need to recognize the fact that we have a set amount of time that is available for us to turn to God. Now, we've made a transition here from a dialogue with just people as individuals to people as a group. Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in grief, but tear your hearts instead. God's saying, I don't want a show. Don't put on a show. Let this repentance be personal in your hearts. Don't tear your clothes, but tear your heart instead. Return to the Lord your God, who, for he, and this is God talking about himself, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Do you know that that's what God is like? God, you can describe yourself to me. God definitely gets to describe himself. Slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows, perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. Blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Or another phrase would be a sacred assembly. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about first. We're going to talk a little bit more about ordering your life this month. But we're going to do something as a church. And I know that we have a lot of visitors here this morning. And I apologize because some of this will not be directed at you. This will be directed to people that this is your home church. January 7th to the 27th, we're going to do something that we like to do once a year that is a biblical idea. And that is setting aside the beginning part of the year. We don't start it on the first because it's a holiday and we don't want to be a downer, right? Everyone enjoy the holiday. Some of you need more time with your family. Some of you need to eat a Snickers bar and relax and laugh a little bit because it's been a long year, right? So we need to laugh. We do recognize that. But I'm giving you a little bit of fair warning, January 7th to the 27th. As your pastor, I'm calling you as a group of people to a time of a sacred assembly. Now, historically, for Jews and for Christians and other traditions, there are many different seasons that are used, just as it was in the Old Testament, to lament, to repent, to remember sin, to do different forms of this. We choose to do this in this way at one time of year. Now, what we see quite clearly in the scripture is times of fasting, times that we're setting aside extra time to seek God as a group of people and as individuals. Now, my experience with believers, average believers in America, is that most of us won't do anything if we don't do it as a group. My experience also is that if you just do it because you have to, it won't mean anything to you. I would have to say that some of my most miserable times of as a believer have been when I just went along with the flow. So I want to actually take time to explain this, because it's a very personal decision for you, and for those of you that are visitors and attend other churches in other cities, this can be beneficial to you as well. We are going to set aside these 3 weeks, January 7th to the 27th, and the 27th is when we're actually going to celebrate our second anniversary as a church. It'll be a time of feasting and just kind of rejoicing in the good things that have happened. But from the 7th to the 27th, we are having a time set aside for you to focus on God. It's a conviction for us. We just believe that it is a good idea to set aside the first part, a first fruits principle of me bringing my best to God. That's the reason that we do church on Sunday morning. It's a historic principle that it was determined to be that beginning of the week. And so I want to start my week with giving God my best. Now, that's not functionally the reality in the U.S. For most people, it's the worst part of their week because they're so, you know, whatever from the rest of the weekend. But that's the functional idea, is that I want to bring God my best. And so we believe that the beginning of the year is one of the best times for me to think about, to be a thoughtful believer, a functional believer, not an unbelieving believer, but a one who believes in the God of the Bible, who wants to connect with the God of the Bible, who realizes that there is no example in the Bible of passive faith. There's no example of someone sitting there and God bringing everything to them. There is only examples of people being active in their faith, reading, learning, memorizing, praying, singing, celebrating, reflecting on the good things that God has done, telling other people about that. There are only examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, of us taking action and being active in our faith. Being a church, being a Christian, is not about me being off to myself doing my own thing. It is very clear in the Bible that we are set to order to gather as a group of people at a set place, at a set time, because God knew that we would need these reminders. God knew that we would need to support each other. God set it as an order because he knew we would need these reminders, and he knew that we would need times, weekly times, times in our homes, time one-on-one, times as a group, times that are annual, times that are monthly, for us to celebrate certain things about the goodness of what God has done, and for us to repent of things that should not have taken place, and for us to come to a functional time of cleansing. Now, what is so often the case in modern church, where people are just trying to do it quick enough and fun enough for everyone to want to come to draw a crowd, is that we don't actually read the Bible for what it really says and actually approach God the way he tells us to approach him. And one of the things that he tells us to do is to have set times where we gather as a group with a specific purpose in mind. Now, it literally would take me 5 hours to walk you through every verse in the Bible, but I can do that one-on-one if you like. This is a Bible idea for us to have a set time, a sacred assembly, to reflect on God's goodness and for there to be a repentance. Now, what are we going to try to do? I want to respond to God with a focus on God for cleansing, right? And for me to make sure that I've made a decision that I'm following him, and for me to actually functionally follow him, not just hit the like button, right? But for me to functionally follow God, and that means investing my resource, my time, my energy, my money to follow God. Now, here's what we're going to set out to do. Right? You can obviously start today, but our specific focus, January 7th to the 27th, I'm giving you some warning, because for me, I always liked warning. I didn't like the pastor to spring it on me. Seek God in a private place and time. This should be personal. Now, I know for some of you, spiritual growth is just going to be to come back next week. That's okay. Please hear me. That is totally okay. If where you're at, just taking a next growth step in your search for whether or not you believe in God is to come back next Sunday, please take that step. Maybe you're at a place where you're already praying 30 minutes a day, but you're realizing that your head, your gut, your heart focus isn't in it. Well, maybe it's time to pray less time, but more time where you're actually engaged. Does that make sense? Seek God in a private place and time. Seek God for grace to surrender every area of your life. We need to give God everything. Give him free access. Give him the freedom to say what he wants to say about every area of our life. We need to seek God for grace to leave your past behind and for grace to forgive people. We've talked about this a lot in the past. We prayed this today. Seek God for guidance in your life. Jesus made it very clear when he spoke about the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, our companion, our advocate, what his purpose was. His purpose was to guide us in truth. Right? So it's a biblical thing for us to ask God for guidance. Seek God to awaken a spiritual hunger in you. You might be here today, and this doesn't sound interesting at all. That's okay. I understand that. I've definitely been there before myself. It may be that just you need to pray today, God, awaken a spiritual hunger in me because I'm not hungry. I propose to you that the Bible is pretty clear that if you don't have a spiritual hunger, then you are spiritually sick. And we need to examine, why am I spiritually sick? What needs to be done? What adjustments need to be made? What can bring healing so that spiritual hunger comes back? Seek God for the power to resist sinful cravings and the strength to seek God for his fruit in your life. Galatians chapter 5. Now, what will the results of this be? If I set aside, I start the year, I make a decision that I'm going to start my year with giving God more time, giving God my heart focus, really focusing on him more than I focus on any other thing. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about sitting at home in your sweats and letting the kids walk themselves to school and letting your job take care of itself. That's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is a heart focus. Are you with me? What will the results of that be? The results will be a change in my appetites, a deepening of my devotion, my dedication to God. Many times when people were called together, it was for a time of dedication. One of the first passages we read, a dedication of the temple where they were going to worship God. Third result is going to be removing clutter. When I set aside more time to be with God, I will, as a result, feel less spiritual and emotional clutter. Can anyone say amen? Has anyone experienced that before? Right? I have definitely experienced that, where I'm feeling like, man, my life is cluttered. I feel cloudy. Things are murky. There's too much going on. I'm spinning too many plates at the same time. Right? What happens when I give God more time, more of my heart focus, a result is it removes clutter. And fourth, I have an increased sensitivity in hearing God's voice. We don't have time this morning, sadly, but many, many stories of people in business, inventors, people buying and selling companies, students, writers, that after a time of increased focus on God, they were able to hear the voice of God and make change. Abraham Lincoln, after the Civil War, called more than one fast as a nation. After one of those such times was when they had the clarity that made the purchase of Alaska from Russia that directly impacted the U.S. economy and helped the U.S. rebound economically from the Civil War much faster than they should have. Alaska. A fast. Read history for yourself. Okay, fasting. What on earth are you talking about? You are a crazy person, Pastor Ben. No, it's a Bible concept. If I take the Bible concept and I break it down to its most elemental, it is this: going without to focus on God. Now, just like prayer, there are many different types of fasts. Just like prayer, there are many different purposes of fasting. But yes, I believe that this works today. That there are times where we need to make a decision to go without something. And I'm not talking about something evil. You should go without that anyway. I'm talking about things that are good, right? It's not going to be all... Okay, never mind, we won't go this way. What does fasting do? It removes distractions. It concentrates your life on God. It cleanses your soul. It empowers your spirit, man. It deepens humility. There's scriptures for every one of these. It intensifies your prayer. It feeds your faith. It produces self-discipline. You want to know if something is in control of your life? Is Facebook controlling you? Bonbons. You know, those little Christmas peanut butter cookies with the Hershey's Kisses on top. If you want to know if something is controlling your life, just go without it for a little while. You will find out who's in control. Now, what are different kinds of Bible idea fasts? Because I know some of you are like, where is he going with this? It may be time for me to fast a certain activity. Maybe you're a news junkie. You read news, listen to news, watch news a lot. Maybe fasting for you, January 7th to the 27th, means less of that or none of that. Maybe your activity is you're a gym rat and you exercise more than you need to. And you are addicted to the endorphin kick, and there's that, it's the same high from drugs or other things that happen in your body. You're addicted to that. You're doing too much of it. Maybe it's time for a little bit less of that, a little bit more of Jesus. See what I mean? It could be something healthy. Maybe it's music. You know, I have found for me, my spiritual health and my ability to sing on Sunday is really connected to what music I'm listening to. Often, I have set aside, and I like a lot of music. We don't have time for that today. I will set aside everything except worship music, and I find that a month later, I am a different person. And I'm talking about even Christian music. Some of that Christian music bums me out. All right? I'm talking about setting aside activities, even things that are healthy, that are good for you. Right? Setting aside social media. You know, some of us, the stats on how we look at our phone, how frequently we look at our phone, it's just scary. Now, I've been accused of having mine surgically implanted before, and that was more than 10 years ago. Right now, there are some things that may be healthy for you, maybe they're not healthy for you, I don't know, but maybe it's time to go without for a while. Many times I've seen people post, okay, just so you know, I'm not dying, but I'm turning this thing off for a couple of weeks. Activities. Media, same thing, right? Now, what most people call a Daniel fast is sweets and meats. What Daniel did is he said, listen, I'm going to fast and I'm going to stop eating things that are sweet to my taste. And he eventually, if you go like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're talking about just vegetables, essentially. But what is a really good fast for you to do is to actually take some time with no meat and nothing sweet. Now, let me just tell you what's going to happen. Okay, this should not be entered into lightly. And, you know, you should have some medical caution. Some of us have medical conditions. You know, I experienced a little bit of hypoglycemia before. I mean, you know what that's like. But the first 3 days of going with no sugar at all, it's going to stink. You're not going to feel good. You're going to have, it takes the body about 3 days to break down the processed sugars that all of us have just from eating normal bread or other stuff. Okay, you're going to have 3 days of feeling lousy, feeling tired, having a headache. If you go no coffee, if you're like a mocha person or a three pump this, that, and the other in your cappuccino, you know, you're really just drinking a candy bar anyway. You go without that for 3 days and you're going to have headaches. And you're going to think, I'm going to die. Trust me, you won't. Okay? Your body is purging. You're cleansing. All right? When your body is breaking down sugar, you're going to feel bad. Okay, but then you're going to feel a lot better. Okay, so meats and sweets is one way to do it. Another way to do it is no food, sunrise to sunset. No food, just water, sunrise to sunset. What is he talking about? He is a crazy person. Maybe you need to start with some milk and water or smoothies. Or wait a minute, what are you calling a smoothie? Some vegetables, juice, different things like that. You know, the Muslim Ramadan is 30 days of fasting sunrise to sunset, right? There's many occasions in the Bible of fasting sunrise to sunset. Maybe what you need to try is one meal, okay? I just don't eat one meal, and instead I pray when I would be eating, right? There's a lot of different ways you can start this, okay? One meal, sunrise to sunset. You can go full fast, nothing but water. Let me just tell you, there's a lot of medical research out there that'll show you a few different things. Number one, it'll jumpstart your metabolism. When you start eating again, you will be more efficient with your fuel. Okay? Number two, medical research proves that if we were to fast at least annually, more frequently than once a year they recommend, it actually slows the aging process. Go ahead, prove me. Medical research, if I take 3 days, no food, just water, it actually slows the aging process. Every once in a while, your body needs a break. This is the medical facts. Right? Now, concurrent with that, if I am doing the more important spiritual part, then there will be great benefit. If I'm not doing the spiritual part, or I'm not doing it for the right reasons for me as a person, it's just going to be terrible. It is. Trust me, I've done it. If I'm not doing it for the right reason, if I'm doing it out of guilt, if I want to be a part of the crowd, it's going to be terrible. You're going to hate it. Right? If I am doing it for the right reason, and it means something to me, whether I'm going no food, or I'm going just no meats, no sweets, maybe I'm going just no caffeine, maybe I'm going just no internet, whatever it is, if I'm doing it for the right reason and it means something to me, it will produce fruit. There will be a reward. Now, this is really personal. And I know for some of you, you've never heard anything like this before and you think I'm a crazy person. That's okay. I understand. I want you to hear from me, no guilt, this is personal, this is between you and God, and that even if you don't participate, you will experience benefit as the spiritual water level of this church raises. You will experience benefit regardless, as those around you experience the personal benefit. Now, we're all at different stages. There's no one that's perfect in this room. Every one of us, no matter how long you've walked with God, you need to grow more. Every one of us in this room, God has something fresh for you. So hear me. We're doing something different. This is particularly for people. You call this your home church. You're a believer in Jesus. This is a Bible idea. Jesus was very clear. We are to live the generous life. We are to pray and we are to fast. And I'm calling you to a sacred assembly, a solemn assembly, if you will, from January 7th to the 27th, that we will finish with a feast, that we'll finish with a Sunday lunch of all sorts of foods on the 27th. We will finish with to celebrate our 2-year anniversary as a church. But I'm calling you January 7th to the 27th to set aside more time, more energy. Maybe it means more money. To do less of the things that are normally pleasing to you, to spend more time seeking God. Does that make sense? Now, I know a lot of you are going to have questions. We will talk about this a little bit more next Sunday as we take our next step in this series, but I wanted to talk about it today. I didn't want to talk about it next Sunday, and then you have to start the next day, because that might mean you're going to change, or maybe you're going to go all smoothies or all juicers or whatever. So you have a week to do whatever grocery shopping as you modify your diet. There's a lot of different ways of doing this, but there is definitely a benefit. If you're still a skeptic, I really would recommend a couple of books written by Jensen Franklin on fasting. Just excellent, small, short books. They will really help you with this process. Let's stand. Let's just close in prayer. I apologize. I'm 5 minutes over. Kind of unusual for us. I'm sorry. No. but I want to close in prayer this morning.